Well, it's good to see you all here. Good to be in church. Mark, would you open us in prayer?
Sure. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening. Thank you, Lord, for life and health and strength. Thank you, Lord, for your Son, Christ Jesus, for the forgiveness of sins, for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and for a place to go on a Sunday evening to fellowship, to worship, and to lift up our prayer requests and petitions, and to hear your word preached. Please bless us as we gather together, Father. Please bless Christy. Please give him the words to say and inspire him as he leads us this evening. And not him, Lord, only, but all our brothers and sisters in Christ that are standing to preach and teach and listen to your word. We love you and thank you. We pray your good hand upon us all. And we ask it in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Take a favor from anywhere in the room. What number?
103.
102.
He hideth
soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love and covers me there with his hand. And covers me there with his hand. Man, we'll take another one anywhere. 103. I think I know that. I'm not sure, do we?
Is it in the music machine?
It is.
I know it.
I think we did sing it before. We'll try it anyway. Well, if it's not, you're coming up here.
Okay.
No, we did
really
sing. Revelation 23 for us when you're up here.
Yes. That's Revelation 23, the last one. I'm going to talk about Psalm 87 and Psalm 88 tonight. His foundation is on the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistah and Tyre with Ethiopia, this man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah, as well as singers, as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs are in thee. Psalm 88. O Lord God of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline thine ear unto my cry. For my soul is full of troubles, and my life draweth nigh unto the grave. I am counted with them that go down into the pit. I am as a man that hath no strength. Free among the dead, like the slain that lie in the grave, whom thou rememberest no more, and they are cut off from thine hand. Thou hast laid me in the lowest pit in darkness, in the deeps. Thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. Thou hast put away mine acquaintance far from me. Thou hast made me an abomination unto them. I am shut up, and I cannot come forth. Mine eye mourneth by reason of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon thee. I have stretched out my hands unto thee. Wilt thou show wonders to the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise thee, Selah? Shall thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, or thy faithfulness in destruction? Shall thy wonders be known in the dark, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted and ready to die from my youth up. While I suffer thy terrors, I am distracted. Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off. They come round about me daily like water, and they compass me about together. Lover and friend hast thou put far from me, and my acquaintance into darkness. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Christy, and thank you, Will. Still glad that Christy's doing the Sunday evening services. I'm sure some of you are probably glad for that as well, but I really appreciate it, so thank you. Keep praying for him, and for me too. I just want to make sure that everybody has gotten one of the wee green hymn sheets. Please do take even once in the week to just go over them all and call those names out to the Lord, because every single person and every single situation that's mentioned here needs prayer. So please do remember to do that. I'd also like to just bring to your remembrance Carol. Please pray for Carol this evening, and Christine, Will's mum, just in case you're wondering. There is only one Christine, isn't there? Is not keeping the best at the moment, so please do pray for her. And Esther and Pat and Steve, please do remember them as well. We're glad to have Ling with us this evening. So you can pray for her too. Amen. I think that's about that. Unless there are any prayer requests that anybody... Yes, brother, go ahead. There was an ambulance there this evening, so that would be Noel. Right. Noel. Was it a big ambulance or was it a proper ambulance? It's not so good. Didn't see them. They were gone. They must have arrived. You were here after us, weren't you?
So when I came here, the ambulance was still there.
So they must have arrived just after we passed. So that will probably be that fella Norman's dad. I think he's the only one that's at home at the moment. I hope it's not Norman, but please do pray for Noel. He hasn't been keeping well of late. So I will make inquiries. That's Noel, number one, I think he's in. Thanks, Christy. I noticed they had one of the, not an ambulance as such. Do you know sometimes they use the big vans, and it's, I think it says ambulance on the side, but it's not. It's more like a minibus. There was one of those out there this evening, and it seemed to be out there for quite some time, or this afternoon. So, okie dokie. Please do remember that. All right, let's have a wee word of prayer, and then we will continue. Christy, would you lead us, please, if you would?
Father, I thank you for this day, for your goodness, Lord, and amongst the uncertainty of this, these times. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, and Lord, for steadiness, Lord, your patience, and long suffering with us. Guide and lead the service tonight. Bless everyone that's here. Guide each word spoken, Lord, each fellowship, Lord, that's offered and shared, Lord. Accept our worship. Remember the prayer requests that were mentioned. We think of those that couldn't be with us, Lord, for sickness or for other reason. We pray that you'd help there and provision their situation. Lord, please provide grace to watch over, Lord. Whoever it was that went in that ambulance, we pray healing, Lord, but most of all salvation, we pray for them too.
Lord, just take part in the service, be with our sister churches, Lord. We pray for country's leaders that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life, that your laws will be forefront in their minds, that common sense will prevail in these days, and Lord, just a general morality towards our fellow countrymen, Lord, would take place in hearts and minds. Lord, just accomplish your will amongst us, save lost souls, Lord, just strengthen your church, we pray. Be with each soul that's listening to the full counsel of your word today, Lord, and just honor your word, Lord, and guide your will, Lord, those children that are willing to listen, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen.
What a favorite, somewhere, anywhere.
This little book, number two
in the black book. You can stand if you like to sing this one.
Shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark you can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who'd go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. You may be seated, and we'll take one more favorite from anyone other than Mull and John.
I have one of them.
Okay. Anyone? First the call gets it. Apart from Mull and John.
187.
And Monica then concludes out the service with a choice, or Mark.
Jesus loves me, this I know. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes.
Read a testimony of that song, and it was one person saying, I've been in many Sunday school classes, taught many, and you know, there's no one that chooses that song as much than adults. It's classed as a child's song, but the adults like to know that Jesus loves them as well. It's good to know. It's good to know. We're in Acts 10, finishing off this evening. We finished verse 34 last week, so we'll start at verse 33. We'll start at verse 34 this week. Just deliberating on the world's events this afternoon, and the Lord brought a verse to my mind is, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Acts chapter 10. No matter what's going on, we are on the winning side. Acts 10 verse 34 and reading through until the end. Our subject tonight is the unlearning church. The unlearning church. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him gave all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water, that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Amen. The unlearning church, and Will, would you lead us in prayer before we get into this study?
Heavenly Father, thanks for being a Lord, Lord. Heavenly Father, thanks for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, and for sending the Spirit to convict us, Lord, and to save our souls, Lord. Thank you for bringing us out to church tonight, Lord. We're all people in all countries can't have that luxury, Lord, or liberty, Lord. And we thank you for the civil liberties that we're in our own land, Lord. And Lord, we lift the persecuted church right to the world, Lord. And Lord, aid them and give them strength, Lord, and give them the gifts that they need, rather that we do not know, Lord. And give them strength, give them everything that they need to survive and overcome with thee, Lord. With the people who couldn't make it out tonight, with Stephen and Carl, Lord, and with Frank and Dr. Shine, Lord, with Esther and Stephen and Pat, Lord, and bless them and keep them, Lord, and bring them into Christmas point time, and prevent them and us, Lord, from getting COVID-19, Lord. And Lord, help those who threat the world, Lord, have got COVID-19. And Lord, stop them from dying, Lord, but send a message of the shed, Lord, who rose on the third day to save people from their sins, that they might trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, Lord. And Lord, give us this night, Lord, and we pray for also the Lord, help them, Mr. Alton, and provide for them, Lord, and bless them also, Lord. And we pray for that family that had to help us at the door, Lord. Help them stop the conditions from getting worse of that person or persons, Lord. And Lord, help them, Lord, and give them strength, Lord. And Lord, stop them from dying, Lord, and provide for them, and bless them, Lord. And Lord, send a message to them that they may accept Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior as well, Lord, and save their souls primarily, Lord. Help us in the light of the Spirit of Christ, Lord, as he preaches, Lord, and pray for him and keep him when we receive thy Spirit, Lord. And Lord, primarily may we readily receive your word, Lord, and our lives and in our hearts and in our souls for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
And just as well as praying, I have two other prayer requests. One is the Houck family, H-O-U-C-K, all tested positive, I believe, with COVID-19. I think doing pretty well, but tested positive all the same. And another one is Dennis Johnson, who's been struggling really bad with, after being taken in the hospital for COVID-19. Both American families and people, remember them in your prayers if you would. The Houck family and Dennis Johnson. If you don't remember them, just remember the two families that Christy mentioned who tested positive and are in hospital. One of them's in hospital. So, but last week we looked at the Open to All Church. That was when we seen Cornelius had been worked upon by the Lord, and then Peter had seen a vision, or a trance, had been in a trance, where he'd seen many four-footed beasts, creeping things, all sorts and manner of what the Jews had classed as uncommon or unclean food. The Lord said then, Peter, rise, kill and eat. And Peter said, I won't, Lord, I have never eaten anything uncommon or unclean. And the Lord said to him, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was the great opening of the doors, the grand opening, as we may see. And then here we have the great unlearning. We move on as we see that Peter comes to the house of Cornelius, and the people at Cornelius' house gathered there, his family, had just let Peter know in verse number 33 exactly why he was there or what had happened. So we move on, and it sounds like a bit of an oxymoron. Church is normally a place of learning. But as part of that learning, there's a lot of unlearning to do. And some of that learning is, or a lot of that learning, is actually unlearning what we had previously learned before in our lives. And I'd like us to notice some things that the Jews had to unlearn for this great opening of the church to the Gentiles to take place. Peter opens his sermon with the line, God is no respecter of persons. Now this was massive for the Jews. The Jews hated the Gentiles. The Gentiles hated the Jews. Jews are people, we all know them, as of one sect of a religion. And Gentiles is everyone outside of that religion. It was against the law for Jews to go into a Gentile's house to spend time with them. I'm sure there was many Jews that woke up every morning praying and thanking God that they weren't a Gentile, but they were a Jew. And the Jews believed that salvation was only of the Jews and offered to the Jews. But here we have Peter, after this vision or trance that God had worked upon him with, the Holy Spirit had prepared his heart for what was about to take place. Here we see Peter declare that I have come to understand, or I now know that God is not affected by status as like we are. God does not respect persons. He does not respect social standing, economic status, nationality, ethnic origin. God does not respect persons. And not being a respecter of persons means someone's attitude or behavior is uninfluenced by any factors outside of who exactly they are. God doesn't care who we are, where we've been. Well, he does care, but it doesn't affect his offer of salvation, I should say. He loves us. And his love, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, is what Paul said. Peter held the same belief as the Jews until the Holy Spirit got to work on him. The Gentiles believed that the Jews had worshipped pork. You know, they didn't eat pork. It's commanded in the law. So if they didn't eat it, surely they must worship pigs. So the Gentiles certainly gave the Jews as good as they got from the Jews. But this was prejudice. It was tradition. It was dinner table hatred spewed out from generation to generation. And here was God tearing that veil in two, just like he done at the cross. Goes on to say, in every nation. And the point in verse 35, it's not that people like Cornelius didn't need to get saved, that they were Christian already. No, the point is, it doesn't matter what nation you came from. If you make a true confession in your heart, and God sees that, then he will accept you no matter what nation you come from. I like then the next powerful statement in verse 36. It talks about the word which was sent through the children of Israel, peace by Jesus, and he is Lord of all. It doesn't say he's Lord of the Jews only, he is Lord of all. The door of salvation is certainly open to anyone and everyone, to all who will worship God in truth. Wasn't by race, ethnic origin, wasn't by colour, by richness, by poorness, by where you lived, by what family you were born into, but he is Lord of all. And Paul said it another way. He said we both do labour and suffer reproach, because we know that he is the saviour of all men, especially those that believe. And that doesn't mean that everyone's saved. It means that Jesus is willing to be the saviour of all men anywhere. That's all that that means. And especially those that believe part was him saying he actually is the saviour of those that have put their faith in him and trust in him. God will accept anyone who believes. And verses 36 through 43, we have the announcement of the proclamation of the gospel. First, there's peace with Jesus, is what we hear. There is no peace with without Jesus Christ, and there's no limit of peace with Jesus. Once a person is justified by faith in Romans 5, then they have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, Romans 5:1. Cornelius was searching for something. He didn't know exactly what he was searching for. But after he had heard the words of Peter, and Peter proclaimed the gospel to him, his search was over when he got saved. He could now rest and have peace, knowing that his eternal destination was settled. It was settled through faith in Jesus. And this was big for the Jews. And there was still some of this lingering with Peter. You remember Paul said, I withstood Peter to the face, because when he was eating with some Gentiles and the Jews came, he separated himself from them. Mm-hmm. But here was the grand opening, or the unlearning of all the traditions that the religious men of the Jewish leaders and teachers had instilled in every one of their followers of the day. We need to remember that the early church men were primarily Jews at this point. They had carried with them all the law that the Jews had followed, all the traditions, all the rituals that the Jews had put in place in their religion. And it came over with them. That's why there was the need for the great unlearning. And here we see some of the things that they have started to unlearn. The first one being that Jesus is no respecter of persons. And I just want to focus on that again for a little bit, because I think there's a belief in our churches today very similar, that God does respect persons and he only loves certain sections of society or sections of nations and languages and tongues. And that's the Calvinist movement. You normally hear me bang on about it up here, but it's been a while, so I thought I'd get on my hobby horse again and start exposing or just talking about it for a little bit. But God's no respecter of persons. There is verses in the Old Testament that say that too. It's not just a New Testament doctrine. God does not choose anyone or exclude anyone from the offer of salvation outside any choice of their own. The only thing that excludes a soul from the offer of salvation is the rejection of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And if we have any learnings of that, we need to unlearn it pretty quickly, because souls are dying and going to hell in these days. And a belief like that will just send all your family and your friends to hell. Peter gets on then to testifying of the power of Jesus. And specifically, he mentions two things about the power of Jesus. Firstly, he says, remember God. Remember Jesus. God anointed this Jesus of Nazareth. He was anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about using that power to do good. He healed all that have been oppressed of the devil. Mm-hmm. Who had been sick, who had been lame, maimed, who had even died. He raised them from the dead. And how was he able to do that? Because God was with him. Then he talks specifically about two things. Two things being, one, his death in verse 39, and two, his resurrection in verse number 40. And Jesus' power was evident in his death, because he gave up his life. No one took it from him. Mm-hmm. Normally it's people taking life from you, but he chose to give up the ghost. And he had the power to lay down his life and had the power to take it up again. His power was clearly seen through the resurrection, in that he demonstrated that the grave couldn't hold him, that death couldn't keep him. He gained victory over death and the grave, and no one before or even after Jesus was able to do such a thing of their own power, of their own selves. Yes, Jesus healed people through the power of his word, but no one was able after they died themselves to raise themselves up again. And Peter stresses the point about eating with Jesus, eating and drinking. In other words, Christ's resurrection was a real resurrection. That's how you know, because he ate and drank. He showed him, God showed him openly after he raised from the dead. Mm-hmm. Not to everyone, it says, but to certain people who would be a witness and go about telling things, telling how they spent time with him after. And we'd see that through the Gospels, the men and women of the day that had seen him. But there was a commandment after that for us to be a witness, to testify that he was ordained to be the judge of the quick and dead. And it wasn't just a command to preach within Jerusalem, within Judea. It was a command to go beyond the borders of Jerusalem and Judea, to Samaria, to Joppa, to here at Cornelius' house. It was a command to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that command still stands today. Goes on in 43 to say, all the prophets gave witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. And there is no limit there. That's a broad, salvation is as broad as that sounds. And let's focus on that just a little bit. I want you to note carefully the only condition of salvation there in verse 33. It's whosoever believeth in him. Mm-hmm. It's not whether you're rich or poor. It's not whether you're white or black. It's not whether you're a Democrat or Republican. It's not whether you're from Ireland or from England. It's not whether you have a job or not. It's whether you believe in Jesus or not for the remission of your sins. And this could be classed as the Gentiles' day at Pentecost. We've seen in Samaria that the Samaritans believed. Then they needed the apostles to put their hands on them before they received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 8. Here we're getting to more true church ground, just for a lack of any other term. In verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. And that implies to me that were silent prayers going on in the hearts of the men and women that had heard the words. They had said, Lord, I hear your word and I believe it to be true. I believe that Jesus is the Christ and is Lord of all. And can you be my Lord and forgive me of my sins today? Then they receive the Holy Ghost. They believe and then receive. Them Jews which followed, the accompanying Jews which followed Peter on his way, they were astonished. This was proof to them now that they had seen God working with the Gentiles. The ribbon was cut. And here we have the grand ceremony of speaking in tongues, the gift of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles, just as to the Jews. No more limit, no more prejudice. The difference abolished, the separation, the segregation abolished at the cross. All was paid, all was finished. And here salvation is extended beyond Jerusalem. They heard them speak in tongues, and this sign was to validate for the Jews that God was working with the Gentiles at this time, for no other reason other than that. They magnified the Lord, they made much of God, and then we see Peter offering them to be baptized. Now, by them getting baptized, that was an outward acknowledgement that they were part of the church. They had believed in Jesus. They had accepted him as their Savior, personally. And by Peter offering them to be baptized, he was testifying that this salvation was true, that this was a genuine profession of faith, and that now salvation was come to the house of the Gentiles. I like as it goes on, they get baptized in the name of the Lord, and it doesn't stop there. They want to be discipled as well. Mm-hmm. They pray him to stay, tarry with them certain days. You know, this was a short sermon, Peter, but come teach us more. They had an appetite for the word of God. They wanted to know and learn and hear about all that Peter and the fellow Jews had witnessed through spending time with Jesus, through spending time with those other apostles who had been in direct contact with their Lord and Savior, face to face, walking in this earth, seeing the many miracles that he performed. They wanted to hear it from them. And they wanted to know and grow. And here we have a church plant at the house of Cornelius. The day of Pentecost for the Gentiles. But all of this wouldn't have happened hadn't there been an unlearning of those traditions, laws, that hatred that was instilled from the Jews to the Gentiles, from the Gentiles to the Jews. Remember, Cornelius and family were Gentiles. They had to also unlearn their hatred for the Jews, because here they had these Jewish men coming into their house to teach and to preach to them what they should be believing and what they should be doing in their lives. But the Jews had to get past the law. They disobeyed man's law to follow God's leading. It was clear to Peter that God was leading this as he gets to Cornelius' house. He sees the receptiveness to the gospel, and he follows God's leading and just preaches the message that he had been preaching all along as the church had started after the resurrection of Jesus and continued to grow through the book of Acts. The death and the resurrection of the Savior, and whosoever shall believe shall be saved. It was one message for all, and it's still one message for all today. Still the same message. It hasn't changed since the early church, and it still has the same impact upon a soul as it did back then. When you're first saved, you have a great appetite. Great appetite for the Word of God, to spend time with God's people, to be in God's house, to sing His praises and worship Him. To give as much as you can give and go as much as you can go and do as much as you can. It's through hurts, through continual failures that then that dims down a bit. But a lack of appetite often signals sickness. That's what doctors often ask when a patient comes to them. Are you still eating and drinking? Or they're asking someone else that helps a certain patient. Are they eating and are they drinking? If not, there's sickness. You need to go see the doctor. If you've lost your appetite for God's word and the things of God, go see the great physician. But I just wonder today, had they not been willing to unlearn as part of their learning, would this have even taken place? Would the church have spread beyond the borders of Jerusalem and Judea? Or would it still be of the Jews today? Had they not been faithful and went against all that they had known, all the previous habits, all their previous thoughts about spending time with the Gentiles, how much would that have limited the work of God? And how much are we limiting the work of God today, in our day, in our church, with us not being willing to unlearn those old prejudices, those old habits, those old beliefs, those old doctrines from before we were saved? And this is generally the pattern that happens. A soul gets saved, get into church, and realizes they have a lot to unlearn as well as learn. You know, they have spent time in the Catholic or Protestant church or whatever other church who didn't talk about salvation, didn't talk about the need to walk and talk with God daily. And they get in and hear this for the first time and think, wow, I've never heard this before. A lot of souls carry on or bring through with them, just as newborn believers, those old sin habits that they've been told are okay for all their lives up until this point. I just wonder today, are we a church that's willing to unlearn those habits? And by unlearn, it takes active learning. It takes an active effort to go against all that we have known, to admit that we're wrong, and say, Lord, teach me in that place where I need to be right, and you have it your way. I wonder what we need to unlearn today. I have nothing specific, no examples. I know some of us need to unlearn that old great pride that's in us. Need to learn to spit it out now and again, or all of the time. Some of us need to unlearn laziness, slothfulness as the Bible calls it. Some of us need to unlearn our dependence upon ourselves and upon others and depend fully upon God. Some of us need to unlearn looking for our worth and value in others' opinions of us. And our validation from other people and the wrong crowds. Some of us need to unlearn our cynicism, our criticalness, and our lack of compassion. Our lack of care, our lack of love, our lack of a stance for God and His way. Some of us need to unlearn being that comedian that will just blend in with the background in whichever company we're in. Are we willing to be a church that's willing to unlearn today? And I'm not saying unlearn anything that's good and proper and right and that lines up with God's word. Keep learning that. That's good learning, but by learning that, you will certainly unlearn what the world has taught you. And that's what God wants for us. Just like Peter here had to unlearn not to call things common or unclean with God, uncommon or unclean what God has called common. Not to go against God and His way. And he had experience of doing that. No, Lord, be it far from thee. Get thee behind me, Satan, was Jesus' response. For thou savorest not the things of God. He denied the Lord 3 times, but the Lord forgave him. And in his forgiveness, the Lord said, feed my sheep 3 times to him. And this is what Peter was doing. He unlearned that old habit of denying, and he started walking faithfully and started feeding those sheep. And those sheep weren't just Jews, and they're still not just Jews today. It's open to all men everywhere, no matter race, religion. He said it last week, sexual orientation. I know homosexuality is a sin, but it won't stop you getting saved. And the church is open to anyone today. You can get saved, no matter what you are, but certainly, whilst you're in a sinful lifestyle, you won't be put in the choir. But you can still be part of the family of God. Amen. Anyone got a closing hymn? Monica, Ling, or Mark, it was.
3 Kings of Warrior Dark, 427.
Huh? What is it?
427. We 3 Kings of Warrior Dark. Just keep on bubbling the book. No, I must have here, 256.
You, 80 what?
86.
We'll close with 2, how about that?
That's actually one of Pat's favorites.
86. Mm-hmm. We'll do 86 first, and then we'll do whatever one that was.
You 3 Kings of Orient are?
No, no, as a joke, as I must have to just 3, 5, 6. I just try to get a bitter, and then the sweet. Sweet at the end.
You can stand for Wolves. And this.
Let's stand as we sing.
I come to the garden alone. speaks and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds are there singing, and the melody that He gave to me within my heart is ringing, and He walks with me and He talks with me.
You can sit or be standing for this one if you like. I'll leave it open to the floor.
I cannot bear my burdens alone. must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus. I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can help me, Jesus alone.
Amen. The apostles had the unlearned to start the unlearned fishing for fish and start learning for fishing for men. The Christians of the day, when Saul the oppressor got saved, had to unlearn fear from Saul the oppressor and learn that he was now a brother of Paul the apostle. Saul himself had to learn to stop oppressing the church and start being a part of it. So I ask you, I don't know what you need to unlearn today. If there is anything, just be willing to unlearn it and be willing to learn whatever God wants to put in its place. Mark, would you lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you, Lord, for the message that you've laid upon Christy's heart. And I pray, Lord, that not just during this message, but even as we go home, spend our time at home and in bed, we would seriously consider the things that you would need us to stop doing to be better Christians, and the things that we would need to start doing to be better Christians. Thank you for Christy and his message. Please bless us as we go our separate ways. Please, Lord, in these last of the last days, in these very dark days, I pray you, Father, please, that you would continue to work on us and don't be done with us. Love you and praise you. And we ask all this, as well as for our private prayer requests and petitions, for those two, the family and that gentleman, Dennis, that Christy was talking about, the Houck family, and Dennis, that Christy was talking about, for their health in hospital. We ask all these in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.